Well, you please turn in your Bibles to Colossians. And I have officially finished going through the epistle to the Colossians, but there was one subject that I wanted to look at before we moved on, but I thought it would be better if we wait till after Christmas. Everyone's had their Christmas break and they're starting to think about going back to work as in the new year. Because if you have a look at the title, it says, "What does a godly employee look like?" And so that's probably not something you want to think about getting close to Christmas, but it's certainly something that you need to be thinking about now. Because here it looks at servants. It talks about servants. And you might say to yourself, well, wait a minute, I'm not a servant, I'm an employee. But what we can be sure is if these things apply to servants, well, then they certainly apply to employees as well. There's no doubt that Apostle Paul understood that there were various types of servants there at the church at Colossae. There were those who were servants in the way that we would consider an employee. They served in a place or a house voluntarily, so to speak. But there were certainly slaves as well, bond slaves. They didn't have a choice. And so he took the opportunity to tell them how they ought to be acting as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ in that position. And I believe there's a lot that we can learn for ourselves in this area of employment. Now, if you have a look in Colossians, you see where how it turns up in a very interesting place. If we have a look there in Colossians chapter 3, it looks at verse 18 and says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And then it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." And so what we see here is God has certain expectations for how we are to act in the home. As we see here with husbands and wives and children, we know that he has certain expectations as his children in how we to act in a local church, but he also has certain expectations of how we work or act as servants to somebody else. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And so before we go on any further, let's pray and ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, you are interested in us. You're interested in the big things in our life, the small things, and everything in between. Lord, you want us to show your character at home, in the church, when we're with unsaved, in the workplace, with friends, wherever we may be, that, Lord, we may be those little Christians, little Christs, that show the love of Christ to others and your holiness as well. And Father, as we stop and consider this area of employment and our servanthood, I pray that it will be your Spirit who ministers to us and does his work in our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say that I'm not saying that those who Paul was talking to here were exactly the same as what we are today. But there certainly are a lot of principles that we can apply. The fact is, although we're not called servants but employees, we serve somebody in the workplace. It's voluntarily. We're not bond slaves. You can resign and you can move on and you can do that. But when you are employed to do a job, you are a servant to somebody. There might be various ranks, and there's the boss and the manager, and so depending on who you are and how far down you are a servant to someone or a lot of people. Maybe in the office, the factory, the shop, the school, the work site, wherever it may be. But if these things applied to slaves, then it should definitely apply to those who actually get paid for doing what they're doing as well. In fact, the expectations should be even greater. And so let's see what God says to the servants, or us. Starts off there at verse 22, and we see here the expectation that God has for a believer in this position. Now, as a side note, this would have been very fitting for Onesimus, Philemon's runaway servant. If you can remember the story, there at Colossae, there was Philemon, someone in the church. He had a servant called Onesimus. He ran away and he went to Rome. There at Rome, he met the Apostle Paul and he got saved. And so Paul sent him back to make things right with his master, Philemon. And so we definitely know there was at least one servant, a bond slave, so to speak, there in the church. He sat in the church as the servant, and there was his master as well. And so this would have been at least fitting for him. But what does God say? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And so he says, obey. Obey in all things. He doesn't say, look, you're free in Christ and you should have no other master but Christ. And so flee from this terrible circumstance of being a slave. No man should own another man and so on and be free in Christ. Now he says, when you're in that position, God wants you to obey in all things. And you know, that's the same for those who are in the workplace today. You could save yourself a lot of problems if you just simply do what God says here and obey your boss, if you want to refer to him as that. He or she, I should say. You know, employees can often make the mistake of thinking that the bosses have employed them to be a consultant in how to run their business. That's what I've discovered over the years. They act like consultants. And so they're always telling their boss how they can do things better. Or they're telling their boss how they're doing things wrong and they should be doing things a certain way. But unless you're actually employed by someone to be a consultant in helping them to do things a better way, well then God's word says what you ought to be doing is just listening and obeying. That's what he pays you to do. And if you're someone who does actually complain a lot at work, complain about what you have to do, complain about how the decisions the boss is making and how they could be doing things differently, and you're always arguing with your employer, you would find that if you stop doing this and simply do what God says, and that is obey in all things, well then you might find that your boss is far less defensive. If they don't think they're going to get an argument every time they ask you to do something, or you're going to complain about what they ask you to do, if they know they can just tell you to do something and you're just simply going to obey it, you might find they're a lot nicer towards you and they're a lot nicer person. Often our own unwillingness to submit to those in authority to us in the workforce creates a certain amount of tension, and then there's this feeling that you are being persecuted as a Christian, when in reality you're being persecuted for not being a Christian or acting how a Christian ought to be acting. If a boss could go out, open his door, and he sees all these employees, the ones that he should be able to point to and say, "See that person there? When I tell them to do something, they just obey." It should be a Christian, because that's what God says here. Thankfully, though, there is a limit to it. And it says there, "Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." So there's a limit. These servants were to obey their master according to their flesh. That is, their bodily aspects and their daily duties that they were required to do. They were to obey in those things. And so if their master said, "I want you to go and dig holes all day," well, then they go do it. If their master says, "I want you to go and pick fruit over there all day," well, then you go do it. If the master says, "I want you to come and wait on the tables," this is here at Colossae with the slaves, well, then they go do it. They were told to offer the service of their body to their master as they were employed to do so. Yet there was a limit. They may have control over their body, but they don't have control over their soul and their spirit. And there is an understanding that they do have a higher master as well. And what Paul is explaining here in this little phrase is that as servants, they also need to acknowledge that they have a greater master as well. And if their master of the flesh commands them to do something that causes them to disobey the master of their soul, well, then they need to obey the master of their soul first. Now, Daniel is the perfect example of this. You know, he was a servant to many kings, really bad kings. Yet we know in the life of Daniel that he was obedient in all things pertaining to the flesh. He was without fault. No one could find anything that he did wrong when it comes to doing what his master, the king, wanted him to do, until he was told to do something that made him disobey his true master. When the master of the flesh told him to eat meat that the master of his soul said was unclean, he chose to obey the master of his soul, and he would wear the consequences. If the master of his flesh told him not to pray to the master of his soul, well, then he chose to obey the master of his soul, even if it meant being thrown into a lion's den. And so he obeyed his master in all things according to the flesh, but that's where it ended. And that is a very important principle that each believer needs to apply in the workforce. We are told to obey our bosses in all things related to that work. But that doesn't mean they have control over your worship and submission to your Heavenly Father. When the boss tells you to do something that'll cause you to disobey him, well, you're not obliged to do it. In fact, we're to act similar to what Peter said to the Pharisees, where he said that we ought to obey God rather than men. Just like Daniel and his three friends. We serve a greater master than our human employer. And obedience to Christ and our Savior comes first. Now, if that means you are never going to be promoted at your workplace, well, then that's one of the consequences. But so be it. At least you have obeyed your Heavenly Father. If that means you're going to lose your job, well, at least then you're being punished or you're being treated poorly for the sake of Christ, understanding that God knows. We understand that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, well, they knew where the line was and they were even willing to lose their life. That's how far we ought to be able to go there. we will lose our life, not our job, not our status. We will obey God first and foremost. And I remember when I moved to Sydney as a 19-year-old, I got a job as a builder's labourer. And one of my jobs as a builder's labourer was a very important job, and that is going to get the morning teas every morning. All right. So, and if you've been one of those guys, that's very tricky because everyone wants different things, and you got to make sure you don't get the order wrong. I tell you, especially when there's maybe 10 people that want different things. And so I thought that was great first week. You know, comes morning tea and lunch. You get this list, you go down and you drive and you buy everything they want. You have a little bit, you know, you don't have to work as hard because you're waiting in line, especially if it's a real long line. You know, you don't mind waiting when it's something like that. And then it came Friday, first Friday, and unbeknownst to me, the foreman would buy some cartons of beer for everyone on the job. And so he calls me over and says, "Alan, I want you to go down to the liquor store and I want you to buy 3 cartons of beer for everyone." And then I thought, then it didn't seem so nice. And here I was, I'm 19 years old, I'm getting told by a 40, 50 plus guy, I'm new on the job, I'm the youngest there, I'm just the labourer, and I'm getting told to do something that would go against my conscience and against what I believe God would have me to do. And so, in a quiet manner, I just said, "Look, I'm a Christian and I don't drink and I don't feel right about going to a liquor store, and sorry, I can't do that." And I was sure he was going to sack me. Now, he wasn't happy, but thankfully, he sent someone else. And so, never on a Friday did I have to go down and get the alcohol. Someone else went. It just became natural that Alan didn't go and get the alcohol. Now, for me, that's where the line is. I'll do whatever he wanted until he asked me to do something that went against what my Heavenly Father wanted me to do. And the fact is, your boss may expect you to be on time, and you should be. He might want you to work hard, and you should. But he has no right to expect you to go with all the others down to the club afterwards to spend a little bit of happy hour for bonding if that goes against your conscience before God. He doesn't have that authority over you. That's where the line is drawn. A boss might, if you're in retail, might want you to be nice to really annoying customers, and so you should. He might expect you to be patient with those when it's really hard, and so you should. But if he asks you to lie to the customer, that's when the line is drawn. And you say no, because I'm not going to disobey my God. And so a good Christian employee will obey their boss, but not if it means disobeying the Lord. Our Heavenly Master always comes first. That's the first thing. Now, it doesn't end there, because it goes on. If we read on, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers." Not with eye service as men pleasers. You know, there was a sign in a store window which read, "No help wanted." And as two men walked by, one said to the other, "Hey, you should apply there. You'd go great there." Now, that's not what it's talking about, all right? It's not saying you don't do anything, all right? It's the opposite. God says here, God wants Christians to be hard workers who can be trusted so much that they don't need to be watched while they are working. You know, I once worked for a car detailer for a few years. And during the day, the boss would have to take a number of cars back throughout the day. And it's amazing, there was about, I don't know, Darren knows who I'm talking about, but there was about four or five people that would be always employed there. And it's amazing that when the boss drove off a car to take it back, how just about everyone stopped. One would go out and have a smoke. The other would run across the road to get something to eat. One of them would sit down at the desk and talk to his girlfriend. And soon as they could hear the car coming back up the laneway, they scurried back and continued to do what they were doing previous to him leaving. It reminded me of that movie Toy Story where the boy has these toys and they're all in a position. He leaves the room and then they scurry off and do whatever they want. And then when they hear him coming, they run back and resume that position again, you know, as though nothing had changed. That's what I felt like I was doing. And here I am working away and everyone's just doing nothing. All right. Now, what does God call these people? Well, we call them bludgers. Right. God has a nicer word for it. Men pleasers. All right. Men pleasers. They only care about impressing the boss. So if the boss is watching, they work hard. But if the boss isn't watching, they don't work, or they certainly don't work as hard as when he is watching. Now, that's very difficult for a Christian. Because we don't just have an earthly boss, we have a heavenly master as well. And the reality is, even though our earthly master may leave the room or the place, our heavenly master is always watching. And so we ought to be serving as though he is watching, because he is. And we're told what type of service we ought to be doing, because it says, in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now the question is, what does it mean to work in singleness of heart? If I came up to you afterwards and say, so, how was work this week? Well, you're working with singleness of heart? All right? You'd probably think, well, what are you going on about? Right? Well, the word singleness simply means generously, bountifully. It is like you have one thing in mind and you're going to do it with all your effort. You're going to do it to the best of your ability. That's what it's basically meaning. Now, we know that when it comes to bosses, sorry if you are a boss, all right, but there is a reputation that bosses often aren't liberal and bountiful when it comes to paying people, or when it comes to benefits and being nice and those sort of things. But the reality is, employees can be the same. They are not very liberal when it comes to their effort and their worth ethic and their actions for their employer. God says we're to be serving with singleness of, notice, heart. It comes from your heart. You know, you may work with some people who say, well, the boss doesn't treat us very nice, so I'm not going to do my best for them. But that's not how a Christian acts. A Christian should have the attitude that I'm going to serve with singleness of heart, as it says there, fearing God. You see, your attitude towards your work out on the weekdays and so on is a reflection of your love for Christ. As we see in that passage, a wife's submission to a husband is actually a reflection of a love for Christ, and so too, the love that a man has for his wife is a reflection of his love for Christ. So too, the way that you serve your master of the flesh is a reflection of your love for Christ. And then Paul reinforces this. He says, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, you're serving the Lord when you do that. Whatever you do, do it heartily, because you're not just serving a man, you're actually serving the Lord. And that's something to keep in mind, that Paul is talking to servants here. Bond slaves, some of them. And he is saying, understand that as you are there serving your master, you are ultimately serving Christ. And that puts on a whole different spiel. Have you ever got up Monday morning, driving off to work, and think, today I'm going to serve God? You generally don't think that, do you? But that's what God says to these servants that they should be doing. They do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. That's the attitude that you need to have. Now, it gets even better because Paul then says that there is a reward in heaven if you do this. Have a look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, these believers, as we see here, as servants, slaves, were going to be rewarded in heaven for the way they served as unto the Lord. So you say, does that mean if you drive a truck for the council, you're really serving the Lord? And in that position, he will reward you in heaven if you faithfully work for your boss in a manner that pleases God? I believe so. That's what it's saying. Does that mean if you're a trolley boy down at Woolworths, does that mean God's watching and sees your attitude? And if you do it as unto the Lord, he will reward you in heaven as well? Well, I can't see it not saying that. That's what it's saying. And that's a blessing, isn't it? When you see how the Lord wants us to look at our jobs, it puts it in a completely different light. Sure, you may not like your boss. Sure, he may not treat you very fairly. He may be very stingy when it comes to wages or benefits and so on. But as a believer, you can look at it differently because you're not just serving him in that position, you're serving the God of heaven. You know, I know as a pastor, I can get up in the morning and say to myself today, you know, today I'm going to serve God as a pastor. And it doesn't matter if I'm writing a message, doing some study, counseling, visiting. I know I'm serving the Lord. But the reality is, on the basis of this, you need to have the same attitude. Today I'm serving God under this person that he has put me. While you're digging that hole, while you're writing that letter, while you're serving that customer, there is also the understanding that God is watching and you are his representative and he's seeing how you act and he will reward you accordingly. And you know, if you please your master in heaven by working like this, there is a very high possibility of pleasing your master on earth as well. They'll look at you and say, now that's the sort of person I want to look after. That's the sort of person I want to keep and want to make sure I do the right thing by, because they are very rare in today's society. And the bigger blessing is, you may not even like your job. It might be hard or dirty or boring or frustrating or stressful, but this work is for the Lord, and the bonus is the only reward you get isn't your pay packet. We see here that there is a reward in heaven as well. There's like a lump sum coming for those who serve the Lord in a manner that is pleasing to him. And it's important to take hold of this, because I know for people who have a zeal to serve God, all right, that often you feel as though when you're at work from 9 to 5, that doesn't really count in serving God. It's only what I do in the church that really counts for serving God. And I know when I wasn't a pastor and I was just serving in various places, like working in different places, I think, you know, those pastors, they get an advantage. Those missionaries, they get to serve God full time, all the time. And so they get to serve him all that time, where I only get this little time here, a little time there and there and there. But understand that your service to a master as an employee from 9 to 5 is not neutral. where it's neither good nor bad, it's just something you have to do, and then you can go and serve God. God says, all that counts in my sight. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, he says. It counts. And there are rewards. The work you're doing during the week is not neutral. Wouldn't that be encouraging for someone back at the Church of Colossae who's a slave, who got sold to this person? They're stuck there. They have no choice what they do. They're going nowhere. And they read this and they find out, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what I do actually counts for eternity, and God sees that as serving him. What a blessing for those in that society, and still in our society today, where there is that class system. And it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're never going to get up to the next class because of your race or whatever it may be, or where you were born. You're just going to stay a servant. And the thought is, what's the point of working hard? Well, the point of working hard is, and doing your best, you're doing it for the Lord, and he sees, and he will reward you accordingly. And if this was the case for those back then, surely there is even a greater expectation when we get paid to do it. It should be a greater expectation. And so I do wonder, can I ask you this question? Has the Lord been pleased with what he's been seeing when you're at work? Has he noticed, first of all, that no one comes before him, no earthly master? If a earthly master says, I want you to do something that goes against your heavenly master, you say, no, sorry, the Lord comes first. If he says, I want you to work on a Sunday and I want you to do this, no, worshipping God comes first and foremost. Nothing is more important. Does God say, hey, there's a believer that puts me first? But then after that, when you are at work, does he see someone that will obey their boss as unto him? Someone who can work unsupervised and will work just as hard, regardless if they're being watched or not. And you'll do your best because you're not just doing it for that person, but you're doing it for God. You know, we can read stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph. But this is today. Where are these people? Where to be the today's Daniels? I trust your boss doesn't have a lion's den, all right? So that's handy, all right? Less scary. But there may be some threats or something. But are you willing to stand like Daniel? Are you willing to be like Joseph, regardless of anyone's watching or not? You do your best. We are to be the Daniels and the Josephs and the so on today. And when you do this, your God notices, or should I say, your God is noticed in this very dark world. And he's exalted because they know you're a Christian and they can see there's something different. And then he's pleased with you in the process. And so, what does a godly employee look like? Well, I trust you've just seen it. And I trust that's you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that every moment of our day counts. As believers, we are your bond slaves. Help us to be those servants of the Most High God. And that, Father, we would bring glory to you in everything. Thank you that we can come and worship you today. We can show this world that there is no better place than to be in the house of God, with the people of God, to worship the God of heaven. I pray that you'll encourage our hearts for being here this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.